That's the Fisk Jubilee Singers featuring Rod McGaha on horns with When the Saints Go Marchin'.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. My guest today is Dr. Kwame. He's the director of the famed Fisk Jubilee Singers of the historic Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, which is one of the oldest historical Black universities in the entire USA. And Dr. Kwame, I just want to welcome you to the show. We know you got a new album out. We're going to get into all of that. But first of all, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be with you today.
Oh, I'm happy to have you. Now, you are the director. So how long have you been directing the Fisk Jubilee Singers, and where were you before that?
Well, I am also a graduate of Fisk University. I was in school from 1983 to 1985. During those years, I was a Fisk Jubilee Singer, and that's when I learned about this wonderful legacy. After graduating from Fisk, I went and did my master's program in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and came back and worked in Nashville until 1994. When I became the musical director of the ensemble. So I've been in this position for about 26 and a half years now.
Oh, well, I see. You just love you some Fisk University, don't you?
Fisk is a great place.
Well, yes, as a proud graduate of it myself, I will say that it is a great place, and I had some of the best times of my life there, both academically, socially, and just learning about the world and learning about political things, everything, too. So, but, yes.
That's correct, yes.
Now, let's give the folks a little background on the history of Fisk University before we go into talking about their new album, which celebrates 150 years. When was the ensemble Fisk Jubilee Singers founded, and why was it founded?
Yeah, the American Missionary Association was the group that established Fisk as an educational institution, and this happened in 1866. Shortly after the foundation of the school, the school faced dire financial problems, and some of the administration talked about closing the school, but George White, who was at that time the treasurer of the school and was also a music teacher at the school, having worked with young Black people before he even started working at Fisk, decided to form a choral ensemble with the idea that traveling around the country and singing was a possibility, a possible way of raising money. No one had ever done this. So when he brought up the idea, people just looked at it as an experiment that had never been done and did not want to support it. So he and his wife were determined to do it. Even the students that he invited to be members of the ensemble had parents who did not want their children to go on this tour because there was no definite plan as to where they were going, when they would be back, and all those types of things. But George White was determined to do it. So on October 6, 1871, he left Nashville originally with 10 students, and they traveled all around the United States and were able to raise money for Fisk. I said that he started with 10 students originally. By the time they got to New York, where they became very successful, one of the students' parents, father, was at the point of death, so she had to return home to Nashville, and the remaining 9 of them ended up completing that tour. So Fisk University has had Fisk Jubilee Singers since 1871.
Oh, wow, 1871, and you said that it was comprised of students from the university. Now, at the time, is it safe to say that some of these students were either maybe ex-slaves or the children of former slaves and former slave owners?
Yeah, definitely children of slaves and former slaves. In fact, it's interesting when one reads about the life stories of some of them who did not know their fathers, because their fathers were either sold or died even before they were born. One of them had a mother who left or was sold into slavery at the age of 2. Ooh. So these were young people who experienced a lot of hardships before becoming students at Fisk University and then becoming Fisk Jubilee Singers.
There's got to be something said about that, having faced some of the hardships of slavery or the aftermath, the residuals of slavery, which some we're still experiencing some of the residuals of slavery now, you know.
Right.
And then to go on the road and to face those challenges after slavery, not that long after slavery, so you know those attitudes were still there about what people thought about African Americans or blacks, right?
Right. In fact, when I think about things that are happening today and also think about this group of young African Americans who traveled in 1871, one story that comes to my mind is that while on that first tour, they had to sing for a group of people in Oberlin. And instead of being placed on a concert stage, they were asked to sing from the balcony. And they started their concerts by singing Western classical music because that's what George White taught them to sing. They also actually arranged the Negro spiritual so they could be performed in concerts. But as they started singing Western classical music, people did not give them any attention. People were talking and walking around. And so the singers said to themselves, if these people will not listen to us, then let us sing our own songs to ourselves. So they started singing Steal Away to Jesus very quietly. And all of a sudden, everyone became very quiet. I think about that story, and I realized that they did not go out marching on the streets to demonstrate, but that they used their music to declare who they were. And that changed a lot of things for them.
In their quiet way, they just started saying, okay, we're going to sing our music, which in essence tells our story. And that's the way they got their attention.
Right. And I can also say that their music tells the story about the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
For human beings.
Yes, the spirituals. And speaking of the spirituals, they, in a way, educated the world about blacks and our struggles and also told the story of God and of Christ with their spirituals as they took them all over the United States and then all over the world. Isn't that right?
That is correct. Because after their first tour, they did travel all over Europe. And actually, before they got to Europe, their story of success had already reached Europeans. So people were really anxious to hear them. That's why they got to sing for nobilities all over Europe and ended up introducing the Negro spiritual to the whole world.
For some of my younger listeners who may be listening and may not understand quite what that is, tell them what Negro spirituals are.
Yes, Negro spirituals are songs that the slaves created during the times of slavery. They, of course, sung all kinds of songs because these are people who were transported from Africa. Within the African communities, people used music in all aspects of their lives. So the slaves, while working on plantations, for example, created songs through which they expressed the emotions, they communicated with each other, and simply used these songs as survival tools during the time of slavery. And so when the Fizz Jubilee Singers were formed as a choral ensemble, some of the members like Ella Shepherd and Maggie Porter collected these songs and helped to arrange them, transform them into art forms so they could be sung on concert stages. So that is basically the original of the Negro spirituals, which the Fizz Jubilee Singers ended up introducing to the whole world.
And also, when they did this introduction of the spirituals to the whole world, they also changed the mindset somewhat, or what people thought about Negroes in America at the time when they took them over to Europe. Isn't that also true?
That is correct, because, you know, people thought that just because of the color of the skin that they had, they were not intelligent. But the Fizz Jubilee Singers changed that. They proved to the whole world that black people are very intelligent.
they took those spirituals from back then, but they've also been doing this, what now, 150 years. So from the coming right out of slavery through the early 1900s, through the civil rights movement, and all the way up until now, they're still singing this music that is touching lives and telling the story of a people. Okay, so let's go and talk about the music a little bit. Now, we didn't hear a lot of spirituals. We don't hear a lot of quote-unquote spirituals in our music in the Black church today. But as a director of this ensemble, how important do you think it is for us as a people to know about the spirituals and where they come from and the history of it and how that music has helped our people from the time that the Fisk Jubilee Singer started singing these songs up until now?
Well, I believe that the Negro spiritual is an important part of the American culture, especially for African Americans. From my personal experience teaching young African Americans here at Fisk University, we talk about the text of the songs. We actually relate to these songs as we talk about the text, because these songs, I believe, still have messages from God to us. We think about a song like Wade in the Water. How could a slave in those days know that by singing these particular words in this song could mean one thing to the slaves and mean another thing to the slave master? I see as God's wisdom.
That is so true. Songs like Steal Away to Jesus.
Exactly.
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Right. And so when today we sing a song like I Thank You, Jesus, which came out of those days, it helps us, our young people today, in fact, not just young people, it helps any listener to know that, yes, those are historical songs, those are songs from the past, those are songs that our ancestors created and used. But those songs are still meaningful to us because they contain the Word of God. And mm-hmm. The Word of God is everlasting. It is the incorruptible seed, which we find in the Negro spirituals. And if it is for just that, I would encourage people to Negro spirituals.
Now let's go talk about the Fisk Jubilee Singer celebrating the 150th anniversary album. Now, are you saying that you're celebrating 150 years of the Fisk Jubilee Singer singing, or is this a 150th recording?
Well, this album was recorded to celebrate the 150th year of Fisk University itself. And the background of it is this, that it was in 2016 that Fisk University celebrated the 150th anniversary. So the Fisk Jubilee Singers performed a concert at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. Everything was recorded, but just for archival purposes. It was a wonderful concert. We had a variety of guest artists, great artists from Nashville, who took part in that concert. People enjoyed it so much that they asked us to have another concert. So in 2017, we went back to the Ryman Auditorium, when Ryman was actually celebrating the 125th anniversary of the Ryman was being celebrated. So again, we performed, and that concert was also recorded, again, for archival purposes. But a few years later, the idea came up that why not turn this, pick some songs from those two concerts, make a compilation album to celebrate the 150th anniversary of Fisk University. So that's how it came about. And then, of course, next year, October 6, 2021, the Fisk Jubilee Singers themselves will celebrate their 150th anniversary. So a lot of great things are happening.
I see. 150 years next year for the Jubilee Singers, Fisk Jubilee Singers, and this recording celebrating 150 years of the actual university. And you said that it came from two live recordings. And at least one of them, I know you mentioned, was at the historic Ryman Auditorium, which is like the recording place or the site of the Grand Ole Opry.
Right. And actually, both concerts were recorded there.
Oh, they were? Oh, wow. Okay. Both of them at the Ryman Auditorium, which is the mecca of country music. Now, your album features special guests like CeCe Winans, Keb Moe, yes. Leon Womack, and the Fairfield Four. Was it hard getting those folks to record on those live projects, on the live album?
It was not hard because of the connections that I have. And I also say it was just the grace of God. It was not difficult getting these people because I have contacts who know some of these guest artists. And so in planning, it was just a matter of saying, hey, do you know someone who can join us for this concert? But the idea was to present a concert that consisted of a variety of music, but also featuring some of the great artists that are in Nashville, Tennessee.
So you have a mix of, you have artists on there that are from the R&B or blues sector. You have CeCe Winans from gospel and inspirational music. And then you have, like, Leanne's from the country music genre.
In fact, her story, getting her was probably one of the best stories I can tell because my co-musical director and I were at breakfast one morning talking about who do we get for the 2017 concert. And my co-musical director, his name is Shannon Sanders, happened to know a guy who he saw in the restaurant. And so he went and approached him, brought him to the table where we sat. We told him that we were planning a concert and wondered if Leon Womack be interested. It happened that this man was Leon Womack's husband.
Oh, wow.
So we presented the idea, and he said, no, Leon Womack is sitting right there. So he invited Leon Womack. She came and sat with us, and we told her what we were planning, and she said, I will do it.
Oh, well, as they say, well, look at God.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. And you have
God is upon this.
Yes, the hand of God is upon it. And this music has, these songs have spoken so much into the lives of not only Black or African-Americans, but all kinds of people that are looking for some inspiration and some hope. You've got songs on there like Wade in the Water, I Believe, and a host of other songs. Can you name maybe about three or four of the other songs that you thought were some of the best on this project?
Well, you know, I have come to like the song that Leon Womack sang, Everybody Ought to Treat a Stranger Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have come to love that song very much. Of course, Blessed Assurance, CeCe Winans, she sang that night, and I felt like dancing and shouting. Then, of course, we sang Glory. I also like When the Saints Go Marching In. It was fun watching my students sing that song. And then, of course, when the Fairfield Four sang with them, I thought that was historic. Having the Fairfield Four to sing with the Fitz Jubilee Singers, it was amazing.
I bet it was. I love their music, too. They're one of my favorite groups from, they say, back in the day that are still relevant, just like the music of the Fitz Jubilee Singers is still relevant in the 21st century.
Yes, very much so.
And speaking of relevance, who do you think this music is going to speak to?
You know, I am already hearing a lot of good things. People are telling me that we released this album at a very important time in the lives of human beings. Considering all of these things that are going on, people who have listened to these songs are telling us about how much these songs are bringing peace into their lives. So even though I may not know exactly who would be listening, as long as the music is out there, I am very sure that it will touch some lives. Our desire is for every song that comes out of our spirits to be used by God in His own way to make a change in somebody's life. And I believe that is what this album is doing.
Amen, because it's coming at us in the middle of a pandemic. We have civil unrest going on, people protesting, marching against police brutalities and systemic racism. And we've been shut in for 6 or 7 months. People need a release. They need something, a glimmer of hope to hold on to tell them that everything's going to be all right. So, Dr. Kwame, before we go, what's next for the Fisk Jubilee Singers? What are they planning to do next? I know it's kind of hard to say since we're in the middle of the pandemic, but
yeah, I can say that the next next big thing is the celebration of the 150th anniversary of the Fisk Jubilee Singers themselves. We are currently planning events. We hope to have a year-long celebration because we believe that the Fisk Jubilee Singers and their music are a vital part not only for Fisk University, not only for Nashville, Tennessee, but for the whole world. Fisk Jubilee Singers are a very, very special singing group. So I want people to be listening for announcements regarding the celebration of our anniversary next year.
All right, then. Do you have a way for people to reach out to you or to the Fisk Jubilee Singers, either by way of website or social media?
Right now we have a website, which is fiskjubileesingers.org. And we also have a Facebook page as well as Instagram.
All right, then. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Now, everybody, get out there and support the Fisk Jubilee Singers celebrating the 150th album anniversary. It's available out there. I'm assuming that it's available on all digital platforms. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, so go out and support Fisk Jubilee Singers and an HBCU, because HBCUs are important to our world. They produce
indeed.
They produce some of the world's most unique geniuses.
Yes, that is true.
Okay, so thank you so much, Dr. Kwame, for being my guest today on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast. So thank you, Dr. Kwame, for
thank
joining
you
us
very
today.
Much for having me.
And just one more thing before you go. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button right now so that you will never, ever, ever miss another episode of this uplifting podcast. So do it right now. Also, you are welcome to support our work and ministry here by hitting the donate button and donating. We would really, really appreciate you for that. Now, to reach me, you can find me on Twitter at Lynn Woods. That's LINWOODS. Or Instagram, LynnWoods96. And taking us on home today, the Fisk Jubilee Singers and Ruby Amanfu, who is featured on I Want Jesus to Walk With Me on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. God bless.